As you know, there is more and more interest in using forest harvest residues as a biomass feedstock. And today I will describe an experimental setup that aims at providing some answers to the question, how much slash should remain on site to sustain tree growth? Because this experiment is very young, I have very little results, so my talk is mostly about how we should design this type of experiment and about the methodology. I would like to acknowledge the contribution of my co-authors, Evelyne and Nelson Tifo, Christian Messier, and Annie Desrochers. Extracting harvest residue, what are the issues? There's a lot of literature dating from 30, 40 years back concerning whole tree versus stem-only harvesting. And the main research question that we find in these papers is, are we depleting soil nutrients? So is the long-term supply of nutrient, is it supplying enough nutrient compared to the export? This is a very important question, but we may ask ourselves, do we have the tool to answer that question? In fact, if we really want to have a full answer to that question, we need to wait a full forest rotation, if not more. Models are also being used, but models without validation are scary to use for policy or for regulation. The question from not the science side, but the regulation, the policy people are different. How much can we harvest? What are the critical sites? Where shouldn't we go? What is the limit? What are the really poor sites where we shouldn't go? And also, how can we validate and improve? So this last question is important with certification framework, because people need to go back to the site and say that they are doing things right or not, and show that they are correcting the measures. Recently, we submitted a paper, a literature review on whole tree harvesting. We found 53 field studies in temperate and boreal forest. And what these studies show is that, in fact, the impact of whole tree harvesting depends on time since harvesting, the species, not the species that were there before, but the species that grow there after, soil type, climate, and there are other mechanisms than nutrients that are very important in explaining the effects. Soil temperature, soil water, competing vegetation, organic matter effects, other biological effects. All these limiting factors are all important, but their peak of limitation changes in time. So this is well illustrated by Rob Fleming here in a paper to be published in Forest Science. And as we can see, microclimate is very important at first. It peaks at first, then plant competition, followed by soil nutrient, which should peak near canopy closure, and then water. Harvest residue affect all of these factors and affect them at different times. So we can think that the microclimate effect of slash is very important at a young age. Another factor that is important is the species effect. So species do matter, and this is well illustrated here by an example from Dave Morris. So Dave has plotted here growth versus post-harvest site carbon. So post-harvest carbon includes soil carbon plus what is in the slash. And looking at different treatment, different sites, we have a nice relationship here. But that was for jack pine, and this new curve is for black spruce on the same sites. So species do matter. There's a lot of empirical knowledge about slash. A lot of people have seen this type of phenomenon, and gave birth to numerous legends of the slash pile. So tremendous growth, big tree, big green tree near the slash pile, and small skinny yellow trees far away from the slash pile. The first thing that one may think when you look at that is that, well, we have taken all the organic matter and the nutrient, and if these nutrients would have stayed in the field, maybe all trees would look like the green one here. But we can also turn this around and think the complete opposite and think that nutrients are highly concentrated near these big trees, and if they were spread around, maybe the amount would be too small, too thin to generate any growth. So maybe all trees would look like the skinny one here. So that's why it's important to have a dose response to get beyond whole tree versus stem only, to get quantitative. Finally, and a last point, when we look at this effect, another hypothesis that comes is that if we looked at productivity for an area, not per tree, maybe the productivity is not increased for this tree that we see on the left. Maybe it's only a spacing effect by the slash and a mulch effect. So there's a lot going on, and we need to identify what is going on. So our experiment is pretty simple. We manipulated slash. We wanted to have different level of slash. So the basic treatment is the 40 kilo wet weight for an area of 9 square meter. This would be about 30 tons per hectare dry weight. This is about the amount that would stay on the forest floor in a regular cut. We had the zero treatment, the 40 kilo. We wanted to double that. See, is there really an effect if we double the amount, 80 kilo? And the one I think that is very important is the 20 kilo, the half dose, because everyone is asking, what if we leave half the slash? Or so it's important to have a gradient, but I think these doses are really important also. The design is the following. We have three tree species. I will explain them later. Four slash load, replicates, and the experimental unit, because of all these treatments, is a single tree plot with one buffer tree. And we have companion treatments that I will comment later. So we selected clear cuts where whole tree harvesting was being conducted. In Quebec, the branches that are smaller than 9 centimeters are left on site. So we have everything that is smaller than 9 centimeter diameter. We try to make bundles that were fairly homogeneous, and we weighed them in the field. I don't know if you can see here with a triangle, and we made 20 kilos bundled. So that was fairly easy to manipulate and to place on the site. We have different sites that are widely spaced, different climate, different soil type. Note the scale here. So there's about 1,000 kilometers between our sites. Different site condition. We had to cope with different site preparation. So mounding, V-blade, harrowing. In Quebec, we cannot use chemical pesticide in the forest. So site prep is very important. But we thought that we should do with that. Each its embedded in the site variability, whether it's mounding, harrow, V-blade. We thought it was important to have a gradient of species. So on all sites, we have hybrid poplar as our reactive species and black spruce as our tolerant species, and we have one species in between. So we cover a wide spectrum. We wanted to know more about what controls tree growth and nutrition. And what comes into play? So we have a series of companion treatment. Here we see again a slash pile effect. The purpose of these treatment is discriminating the importance of different mechanisms that come into play. And the incidence is mitigation. If it's truly a nutrient question, fertilization might be the mitigation. But if it's a competition effect, it's a completely different game. So we have fertilization, herbicide, a plastic mulch that was grayish, was not too dark, and herbicide plus 40 kilos. I will explain what is the purpose of these treatments. So slash doesn't have only positive effect. It reduces soil heat, and soil heat is very important in these forests. So a negative effect on soil heat, but perhaps a positive effect on soil water, on nutrient acting through, well, they contain nutrients, they will release nutrients, but also they control competition. They will probably have a positive effect on light because of competition, and also maybe an effect on roots. One of our researchers, Christian Messier, really believes that some plants perceive roots and of other plants and react to that. Even if you fertilize, irrigate, there's still an effect of the physical presence of roots. This is the only result I have. In fact, slash has is bringing down maximum soil temperature, but not minimum soil temperature from the first season. So these different treatments act on these different factors. So we think that synthetic mulch compared to the 40 kilos will have pretty much similar effect except nutrient input. So we may be able to see some nutritional effect. How important is slash for nutrient? We use fertilizer. We use the same dose that was present in the slash, but we would fertilize every on 3 years. We use herbicide, again, to target the nutrient question. And finally, I think this one is interesting. We use 40 kilo plus herbicide. So the comparison between these two last treatments could tell us, once we fully control the vegetation, the competing vegetation, what is the effect of slash? So we monitor soil temperature, moisture, nutrients. Go fast on this. A last point, we thought it was important to monitor decay rate. So we have the different diameters of the slash that is put in cages so that they don't escape. And we count them and we weigh them. And when we come back, we count them back and we take one to estimate water content. Why is it important? There is this controversy about the impact of using biofuel for mitigating greenhouse gases. In fact, biomass is not dense in energy. When you use biomass, you emit more carbon to the atmosphere than when you use fossil fuel. So you create a debt for carbon, but this debt is really, the payback of this debt is really dependent on the decay rate of the slash that you would leave in the field for this particular case. And if you look at the decay rate of the material here in a simple modeling exercise, the 6% rate is often what is found in literature for slash. And as we move this decay rate, we get different time to pay back before the use of biomass starts to be good for atmospheric carbon. So in summary, this is our setup. We have dose response curve, species response, and insight into the drivers. We think that using a fast-growing tree species such as hybrid poplar can be considered as the canary in the coal mine. If we don't see anything with hybrid poplar, probably we're good for a few years. So with that, I'd like to thank our collaborators. Thank you. Of having such small plots is that after 10 years, I think the experiment will be over and we cannot look at fauna, but we can look at, I think the result could be interesting for looking at soil fauna and microbial, so we are still looking at what parameter we should measure next, but yeah, I think it's appropriate for this.